You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your buddy, your pal, your seeker of all things truth, justice, and people's way, the human way, the right way, the cool way. You're really cool. You're cool for joining us, sharing your time with us here today. We got one more hour with you. Still ahead, Paul Noonan with sports. He's a writer with the Acme Packing Company. He'll be talking about the Olympics. He'll be talking about the Bucks, maybe some curling updates, as well as the Super Bowl. Never heard of it, but I guess it's a big game where there's going to be a really cool halftime show. Can't wait to watch that part. But we're talking right now with Jim Santel. He's the host of Amicus, a law review. He is here with us discussing all the major news coming out of the world of law. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And we were discussing before about, we were talking about the Judge Hannah Dugan case. We were talking about a small change to possibly the Fourth Amendment because, you know, warrants, who needs them? But we've been getting into discussion about the matters of justice for those who seek to harm this country and its people. And it's about standing up and demanding that our current and future leaders actually install the spine and do something about it, because nobody is above the law. I don't care what the president says, and I don't care what the Supreme Court says. Nobody's above the law. But we have Dale from Wausau on the line right now. He's been very, very patient. Dale, you wanted to talk about a couple things this morning. Start with ICE. Let's start with ICE here.
Okay. Hey, Dale.
Good morning, Jim, and thanks for taking my call. In regards to ICE, I think the reason for them wearing masks and no identification of them, it's because a certain amount of them have outstanding warrants for their arrest, because there is virtually no vetting of them for hire. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention is there's legislation in the Senate that's being pushed by Senator John Thune to deny women the right to vote because their birth certificate name does not match their married name. Mm-hmm. It has passed in the House of Representatives, from what I understand. And all of these people in the House of Representatives that voted for this, I think their names, names should be out there of who they are that voted to deny women the right to vote.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Dale. That is a bigger, very big issue. Two things I want to say really quick. Dr. Lyerly brought this up earlier this week, and I've been seeing it more on social media. These individuals who are on the street for ICE are also seeing their paychecks not coming through and their bonuses not happening, or their bonuses being taxed so hard they're not getting as much money as they told they would be. I think we're going to see a big fallout on this department sooner than later, because they are being sold a bill of goods on the matter of getting a gun, going seeking justice, but they're not getting paid either. And that was one of the big things, is like $50,000 sign-on bonus, big-time pay, school forgiveness programs, things like that. But we'll keep an eye on that matter for down the road. But, Jim, that's something I'm glad Dale brought it up. And that's the SAVE Act that he is talking about. And the SAVE Act seeks to redefine how voting can happen, the processes you have to go through with voting. And earlier this week, we talked about the Make Elections Great Again bill that Wisconsin Congressman Brian Stile has been putting forth, which seeks to get rid of paper, make it all paper ballots, severely limit the amount of early voting. They would also get rid of ranked choice voting. And, you know, I just have to ask, when you see all of these things that are doing nothing but setting up voter intimidation, voter suppression, and just making it more and more difficult to vote. And the thing that Dale was talking about is that, you know, if your birth certificate says Jane Smith, but your married name is Jane Watson, and you don't have the proper paperwork, then they might be able to deny your ability to vote. What do you say to all of that, Jim?
It is outrageous. It's contrary not only to the trends of America for the past 237 years, but also it is denying people the franchise. And it's all these things, whether it's the Stiles bill or or the, again, interestingly, the name of the SAVE Act, it's an acronym, Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. Just the opposite, right? All these things intended to, as you indicated, inhibit voting, to suppress voting, to make it more difficult to people to vote. And that too should be a sign for anybody who's going to vote for elected officials who are advocating that. Why is it you don't want people to vote? Yeah. Don't we want just the opposite? I mean, among the other things, again, that Dale's identifying here, SAVE Act does, in fact, require for registration and other things, all kinds of problems here. Married people have changed their names, got to come forward and produce evidence that, in fact, you are the person, which, again, may or may not be on your driver's license. All kinds of things related to registration, even eliminating mail registration, disrupting online registration, voter purges. And the one that has attracted my attention among all these others is also as someone who, and many of your listeners do the same thing, we're also part of the polling force and provide support for polling on a regular basis. There is a provision that would imprison election workers if, in fact, they help to register somebody without the correct documents. Facing criminal prosecution for arguably making an error or not making an error, that kind of thing, also is going to send a message to all those people who might be interested in helping out, saying, wait a minute, I get this wrong. And sometimes, yes, people make mistakes. It's very rare, but it is can correct it promptly. You make a mistake and I'm being exposed to the possibility of criminal prosecution. Talk about chilling. What we want, which is we want people to come in and support this process. Everything about this is wrong. I'd note simply again that we do have an opportunity, following up on what Cindy said in the last segment, you have an opportunity to stop this happening, even during the course of the Trump administration. We do have the election, which you've spoken about at great length, Greg, in November. And if the United States population votes and sends a majority, it doesn't have to be Democrats, but thinking people to the United States House and also sends, again, a significant number to the Senate, you can stop virtually all of this crazy legislation, and you can basically stop the president, even though he remains the president, from many of these initiatives by conducting oversight, by passing resolutions. He's not going to sign new legislation. The legislative process will come to a halt if indeed you elect people who are thoughtful and caring about the future. But that's the power that Americans have. That's what you were just talking about. Final thing I will say about that is, to Cindy's point, you also have this power of impeachment. If, in fact, you get enough people in the House, you need a simple majority to return articles of impeachment. You need this supermajority. That's right. It's 60 people in the Senate. That seems like a big lift. But under these present circumstances, if Americans send 60 or more senators who are concerned about the future of this nation, you could present the possibility of impeaching and removing this president before his term is over. I want to very quickly say a remote possibility, but that's the power that's existing right now. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens in November.
And on top of the fact he wants to nationalize the voting process, which Ron Johnson has come out and said he does not believe needs to happen, but that all presents to me no more clearer case than to be very aware of what's going on for this fall. You know, Wisconsin, we're electing state senators, we're electing assembly members, we're electing a governor, Congress, if they live in your district, and you still have a voice, you still have the ability, as of this moment right now, I can't speak to a week or a month or a year down the road, but right now as it stands, you still have the ability to do this. And as you said, Jim, this is not about electing great Democrats. This is about electing smart people. And that doesn't preclude anyone other than someone who wants to come and say, I need to, this is the work of the people. So I could talk about this for decades. But yeah, I just think it's so, so very important that people don't treat it like, well, it's just Trump being Trump. No, this is how we got in the mess in the first place. People thought Trump was being Trump, and now he's going for a third impeachment, possibly. I mean, he's gonna have more impeachments than all the other presidents previous combined. So, Eric in Milwaukee is on the call right now. He's been very patient. Eric, what do you say today, this morning? How are you today?
Eric, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks. First of all, I want to say Dave Brubeck for bumper music is really cool. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
But this point that I did want to make is when the governor of Minnesota, Walz, activated the guard in that state, Is that something that the governor would have authority over the president, or could Trump that, to make a bad pun? Or if a governor thought that, you know, ICE was acting out of control, could they call in the National Guard and the president would not be able to stop that?
That's a great question, Eric. That's a question I've been thinking about, too. I'm glad you asked it, because you were reminding me, is like, if Governor Walz invokes the Minnesota Guard, can Trump just come and say, nope, they're mine. They are now nationalized. They're under my controls. Too bad. So sad. How does that work?
Yeah. The very fact that we're talking about this on a Thursday morning underscores the absurdity and an unconstitutional situation which we are in generally. Eric, you've got it just right. We've forgotten that the National Guard they can be invoked by a governor. That's what this fight is all about. And the question up to now, which the Supreme Court has at least for a while put on the back burner and rebuffed, is whether the president can overturn and supersede the decision of the governor, who says, no, we don't need to do this, and force the National Guard in. Again, the Supreme Court seems to be siding with governors on that. The question, once again, we've not gone down this road, right? And the image that comes to my mind is, if we have a situation where the governor, whether it's Walz or others around the country, calls up the National Guard appropriately to protect the safety and security of our country, and the president either tries to rescind that, which my own view is he doesn't have that authority. It's not how it's done. We'll run into court, figure that out. But, you know, we could also have this situation where, who are the National Guard then responding to? They're responding to federal agents, right? Mm-hmm. They're responding to ICE and Border Patrol. We're going to have law enforcement fighting law enforcement on the streets of America. And again, that may not be civil war with a capital C and a capital W. That's when, again, we're already in crisis situation, but true devolution of everything we've known. No clear answers on that, Eric, mm-hmm. but again, courts will decide. But even the fact that we're talking about it is outrageous. Not to suggest the question isn't a good one, but this is the president who's created that possibility of unconstitutional behavior and the possibility of warring law enforcement forces on the streets of America.
It's the situation we're in that causes us to ask questions where you say, I can't believe I just asked that. Why did I just, because that's where we are in 2026. We have to face situations which beg questions, which make us say, 20 years ago, we would have said, that's ridiculous. That's a movie. That's a movie. We're talking about a bad movie right now. We're not talking about America. America has its faults, flaws, problems. A lot of things can be fixed in this country, but one thing we're not talking about is the National Guard fighting with the local police, fighting with this group, with that group. Like, that's a bad movie that I wouldn't see, but that's where we're at right now, and it begs the question, no matter how ridiculous. Anytime you think a question's ridiculous, folks, you go, that's 2026. What are we going to do? We got to find an answer. So more to come with Jim Santel on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about important news coming out of the Supreme Court and California's journey to protect the American people. Don't go anywhere. If you have any questions, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment in the live stream. If you're not joining us there, live streams on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter, Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Box. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your buddy, your pal, your knower of all things dorky music trivia. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not listening to the live stream, which is on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can always watch that show again. If you miss it live, you can go to our YouTube channel where you can see all the archives of our shows, see what we're talking about, see the cool clothing I'm wearing that I bought in Memphis at the studio because I'm awesome. But yeah, we are talking to Jim Santel right now. If you want to be part of the conversation over the phone or text, it's in the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That comment also, leave a comment on the live stream if you'd like. We are talking about all the major news coming out of the world of law. Cornell from Merrill is on the phone right now. Cornell, good morning. What do you say? I hear you want to talk about the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for the great show, Amicus. I enjoy your expertise. Yeah, well, the 10th Amendment, I've been studying it, and the 10th Amendment was enacted in 1791, and it says equal power, that the state has equal power next to the federal government, because they put that in there so the federal government doesn't overreach the states, and it's supposed to protect the people and even the judge, that she has that power of equal power to protect the state and the people.
Thank you so much, Cornell, for the call. We really appreciate that. I mean, what do you say to that, Jim? I mean, my understanding of the 10th Amendment is that which is not enumerated by the federal government is sent to the states to take care of themselves. But what kind of 10th Amendment fight are we talking about right now?
Right. So both you and Cornell this morning get A pluses in our civics course, which is this radio program, because you got it just right. And again, to be a little silly for a moment, those people who would poo-poo the very important notion that you've described, that Cornell has described, would say, oh, it's just another amendment, right? You got the Fourth Amendment. And this one was the 10th Amendment. It was passed by the first Congress, right?
Yeah.
But not to be silly about this at all, it relates to exactly the things we're talking about. In Minneapolis, it's animating the discussion about Judge Dugan's situation. And we do have this thing called the Supremacy Clause, and it's also out there that says, yes, the federal government, when there are conflicts, when there are issues that are exclusively federal, that federal law supersedes and overcomes state law. But to the point that you just made so well, based upon your eighth grade civics class, a teacher taught you well, the notion that if there are things in the Constitution that are not specifically set forth, they reserve where? To the states. Mm-hmm. And that includes, by the way, Mr. President, to tie all of these things together, to the elections, right? It's not the 10th Amendment, but it's another portion of the Constitution. It's also time, place, and circumstances of federal elections are handled where? By the states. Again, all these things, representations of our founding fathers wanting to ensure that the states, as Cornell just said, not only have power, but have the appropriate authorities reserved to them to handle their matters. What does that include? That includes things like law enforcement, making decisions about their own even financial status and commercial issues. That's why we have state legislatures independent of the federal government. This president, in so many ways, wants to run roughshod over that and maintain that he has got complete authority with respect to anything. And I don't think that's hyperbole. He is going down that road. The 10th Amendment, it should be one of those blocks. Federal courts are saying that to him. Yeah. You can't do this. You've gone too far. But it requires people like Cornell and you and others on this program to stand up and say that's not contemplated by the Constitution. The 10th Amendment protects the states and their capacities to work as co-equal branches of government, doing different things related, but different things in their different venues and jurisdictions. That's the beauty of our system. Again, it's been around for 237 years or so. We'll see if it lasts.
I think to reiterate the point too, for Cornell, for myself, for all, it's those things we need to stand up and say, this isn't right. And then when we look at those leaders again, who are either running for the job again or trying to take the seat, you better understand that for the future, because we cannot do this again. This cannot happen again. We need leaders with spines, with minds, and people who are willing to seek justice on behalf of those who put them in the positions in the first place. Jim, we have seriously just a few moments left. Really quick, your thoughts on California, the Supreme Court allowing California to add five more seats to their state, which would probably favor Democrats. Thoughts really quick.
Exactly. This is another of the emergency applications. This one comes from the California Republican Party, upset by what California has done. And a federal court, again, had permitted them to go forward. Supreme Court, without decision, without explanation, without reasoning, basically says, no, we're not going to overturn that. Mm-hmm. It stays in place for the future and presumably for the upcoming elections. Huge. Again, in connection with what happened in Texas.
Yes.
Same kind of thing. Back in December, the Supreme Court said we're not going to overturn those realignments and those seats. So the same reasoning presumably applies in Texas as it does in California. Supreme Court basically saying we're not getting involved in this political stuff. Mm-hmm. And at least for today, the governor of California and others are celebrating a victory that says, yes, we can in fact go ahead with these new seats that the people of California adopted by this major referendum, this initiative in 2025. It's huge.
I wonder if the California Republicans are mad at the Texas Republicans at all for doing the same thing. I'm just asking questions here, Jim. Just trying to find things out, Jim. I'm not trying to be a troublemaker, Jim. Right. Speaking of... Jim Santel, he has been our guest this morning. He's been here. We've had you for an hour, and I can still talk to you for another 2 hours about everything. But we'll speak sooner than later. Amicus, a law review, is on every Saturday from 9 to 11 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Catch it. It's a mini law class every single time. I think if you ask Jeannie from Eau Claire, he's on episode 185, I think might be. But check that out. He's always here. We love having him around. Jim, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Honored to be with you and your listeners. Great questions, great insight as we work to preserve America.
Darn right.
We'll see you soon.
While we're preserving America, I want you to preserve your health. Go grab a snack, grab some water, stay hydrated. Come on back. When we return, we're talking to Acme & Company writer Paul Noonan about all things sports. You like the Olympic? You like the Super Bowls? Do you enjoy the Bucks? We're talking about all those things this morning. Don't go anywhere. Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your fan of all things 80s hair metal. If you're not hearing this right now on the replay version, that we're listening to the seminal 80s band Europe and the greatest of one hits, that was The Final Countdown, here on the show, provided to us by Sweet Cal B on the boards, on the ones and twos. You are here with us sharing your time. We appreciate you. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I want to remind everybody, if you can't catch the show live, you can always go to Civic Media's YouTube page and watch our show back. You can watch it back even if you listened before. Because you're like, I got to hear what Greg said. I got to hear that really dumb thing that Greg said. I'm going to make fun of him on social media because people have actually done that. And that's fine. You're here. You're giving me your time. And I appreciate you. More still ahead. We've got a handy tip from Greg. I'm giving a very, very simple tip to a guy running for governor in Florida on how to not capture like in a van. Ha ha, candy. But like find new voters. It's not the way you think you should do it. But this is for a gentleman in Florida who's running for their seat for governor. But right now, it's Thursday. It's a little after 10:30, which means one thing and one thing only. We're getting to the thing that I know so much about. That is sports. I'm just kidding. I know some things, but not enough. That's why we bring on one of our sports gurus. And this week, it is Acme Packing Company writer, Mr. Paul Noonan. Good morning, Paul. He's coming to us live from an undisclosed location where there is a window with city. He is in city America. Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
Yep. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing peachy keen.
All right. By the way, I am in the Sears Tower. That is where I am.
Oh, you're in the Willis Tower, huh? You're in that big tower. Okay, really quick here. So my wife lived in Chicago for 10 years. She's still, her heart's very deeply in Chicago. Her mother lived in Chicago for a long time. I'll admit it. When we drive through Chicago, I always will and there'll be a long pause and I'll go, hey, look, the Willis Tower. And she'll get very upset with me because when it comes to annoying my wife, I go for the small things. I'm not going to be a jerk, but I'm going to say those things there and make her go, I don't know why I ever hang out with you at all. But I always say the Willis Tower. Now, the question I have for you, because you're a journalist and you know things, does that building currently actually have a name at this point? Because I felt like it was the Sears Tower and then it became the Willis Tower and then Willis went away. Is it just that big building in Chicago?
The official title, it is still the Willis Tower.
Okay. All right.
And Willis does actually still have offices in the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That is what it is. That's the official name. No one calls it that, but that is the official name.
I call it that and I love it so much, so much. It makes people so ridiculously upset for no reason. It's like when you're like, hey man, this hot dog could use ketchup, but we're moving on. Talking about sports, this is a very weird point in Wisconsin sports because we don't have Packers, Brewers aren't reporting yet, and the Bucks aren't doing great, but there is news because the Bucks pulled off a, as you put it, ridiculous victory last night.
Yes. So the Bucks played the Pelicans last night, who are terrible. And one reason I like coming on your show is because it forces me to watch the Bucks. And the Bucks are often not a good watch, but I feel like I catch the good stuff, honestly. Yeah. So this was an overtime victory. Giannis didn't play, has been playing for a while. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy because the Bucks had a huge lead at the end of regulation and let Trey Murphy, the third, who... The third is good for him because he only is good at shooting three-pointers, just ripped off like six threes in a row, mostly uncontested. ended up tying up the game, went to overtime, and the Bucks at the end of regulation let Murphy have a wide-open three that he somehow missed. So people were making fun of them online for it. They did win the game, which is good. It was like 140. I have it pulled up in front. It was 141 to 137. That's the kind of game it was. And a lot of those 41 and 37 points were in like the last 3 minutes plus overtime of the game. It was a bonkers game. No defense was played by anyone, which the Pelicans are 13 and 40. One of the few teams in the league.
Wait, what?
Vastly
how?
Worse than the Bucks.
Wait a minute. They're how? That is what?
Yes, they're awful. They're a terrible team. So, you know, skate. That's how the Bucks get wins these days. They skate by awful teams. Without Giannis, that's what they are. So that is what they did. And it was a very entertaining but terrible basketball game. But you can still have fun.
Yeah.
With, you know, rough teams sometimes.
Okay. All right. You know, before I say anything, because all of mine is speculation coming from a point of view that knows barely anything about basketball. It's all like, when I say logic, I'm not trying to be insulting either. I'm just trying to put the pieces together to understand why teams do what they do. Calvin, what are your thoughts? Like, this isn't like, I feel like last week I'm hearing the same thing. They lost to the Washington Wizards, and the Wizards are terrible too. Like, they're not, they just can't get it together. What are your thoughts, Calvin?
Well, I don't want to.
The patented Calvin, well.
I don't think they're in full tank mode. That being said, I definitely
sounds
think
like they're in half tank mode.
They're in what I would call pack it in mode. Like, don't overextend yourself. Anyone who's injured gets put on the bench. Yep. If you're down by a lot, you pull all the starters and just let the bench play. You don't try to come back. Like, whether Giannis remains on the team after 3 p.m. or not.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks season is kind of over, and it needs to be over in order to have a shot at a player that's going to make a difference next year.
So, and that's where okay. So, really quick,
yeah.
Where do you see two answer this question, and then go right into the trade deadline that's happening at 3 p.m. Eastern time today. What is the fate then of Doc Rivers? Because I feel like this Doc Rivers experiment that I've been hearing him talk, I feel like it's just, it feels like they need a wholesale change in this team, clear the decks, the mother of all rebuilding, because it went from a championship team to this, and I can't believe it's just the players. I just don't feel like Doc Rivers has it in him to really coach this team all the way through.
Yeah, Doc is, well, here's the thing. It is mostly the players.
Okay,
It honestly is. Age comes for everybody. This is not the Bucks team that won, not even close to the Bucks team that won the title. Giannis isn't playing and hasn't for a while. I don't think Doc's a good coach. I think that's pretty independent from everything else that's gone on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Phil Jackson could win with the current Bucks roster without Giannis on the court. But he's not a good coach.
Yeah.
The reason they have Doc is because they screwed up the post-Budenholzer era of coaching selection so badly that they kind of had to grab a guy who's just like, oh, the base level of NBA competence, which is what Doc Rivers is. They do need to get rid of him and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems the Bucks have is they haven't made a lot of good decisions in like 4 years. They've gotten a lot wrong, coaches signing for like, Not all their fault. Like, I think Lillard was still a theoretically okay idea when they did it.
Yeah.
But tear down everything at this point.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything. They could, I think, actually still do. I don't think they'll do this at the deadline. they could try to add a minor piece and eke their way into the last playoff spot. Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea, but they're close enough that it's something they could theoretically do if Giannis can come back and play. But I think Calvin's right. Like, there's already some noise out there on the internet that they're, if they don't trade him by the deadline, they're going to shut him down for the rest of the year, and just make sure his health is preserved as an asset to trade in the offseason. And that's probably where they are right now.
That's really disappointing. I mean, it's not the first or last time it's going to happen. It just seems very disappointing. And honestly, like, as a non-basketball fan, when I hear these stories, no offense to the people in the organization, but they're very well paid. They're going to be fine. I care about the fans because, you know, this team means so much to them, and to see it go the way it's been going, I just feel so bad for folks who really enjoy. And, you know, I mean, yeah, of course, who doesn't want a ring? But, like, just at least a few years of residue of good playoff seasons after the championship to feel like, oh, we could still do this. But it just, like, came down so hard that, yeah, I just feel bad for him. And I that's kind of where I'm at. It's like wholesale change, clear the deck, start over. And maybe in 2 to 5 years, there's something there. But we'll have to see where it goes after the trade deadline. And I'm sure that we'll be talking about it in the future. So this Sunday, a fabulous concert by Bad Bunny is going to be on the television, neatly sandwiched between 30 minutes of football that will take somehow 9 hours to play. The Super Bowl is coming. Are you remotely excited about the teams playing, or is it just about the spectacle of it all?
This is not the best matchup. I've actually had a hard time getting myself excited about it. It could be worse.
Yeah.
Had Denver gotten in instead of New England, this would have been an all-time bad Super Bowl. Seattle actually tends to find themselves in those with some regularity.
Yeah.
But at least Drake May, as an elite quarterback for the Patriots, it makes this somewhat interesting. The only guy who's managed to put up any good offense against Seattle's defense later is Matthew Stafford, and the Rams almost got by them to get to the Super Bowl again. But it takes sort of the elite tier guy to do anything. But I think Seattle probably rolls them in this game, without too much trouble. Seattle has a truly elite defense. I know nobody pays attention to them because they're out west and they're kind of boring.
Well, they're also not one of the names.
They're not. If you want a good storyline in this game, it's fun to make fun of the Vikings. And the Vikings had Sam Darnold last year as their quarterback, and they let him go to develop J.J. McCarthy instead. And now Sam Darnold is in the Super Bowl, and he's in the Super Bowl with a team that is very much like the Vikings, a team with an elite defense, one good receiver. It's Jackson Smith and Njigba this year. It was Justin Jefferson on the Vikings, and likely to get it done. And that could be Minnesota. Could have been Minnesota this year, and instead they screwed that up. So that's a fun little storyline. But more than anything, Drake May is a great quarterback, but he doesn't have a great wide receiving core. It's kind of all him. He takes a lot of sacks. He's a good runner, and that's kind of what preserved him the last few games on the AFC side. But he's got small hands, and because he has small hands, we track everything, man, everything. Because he has small hands,
he hates tomatoes too. Drake May, so awful.
He takes a lot of sacks, and he runs a lot, and he gets hit a lot, and he fumbles a lot. And Seattle hits quarterbacks more than anybody else. They are a great, great defense. They're healthy, and to win this game, Patriots are going to need Darnold to throw like 4 picks and not fumble. That's all they got.
I think it's really funny that right now when I hear people talking about the Super Bowl, at least in my circles, because it's Bad Bunny and whose owner is the better billionaire in the world. Like, that's the thing I keep on hearing. I'm like, oh, you guys really don't care about this at all. It's just, this is about nachos and a halftime show that is going to anger a lot of people and make a lot of other people happy. So
thank God that we have our publicly owned football team in this state and don't have to worry about the fact that 5 NFL owners show up in the Epstein files. So. There you go.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. Wow. That's it. All right. Paul Noonan is our guest here this morning talking all things sports. Paul, I got to have you on someday not talking about sports. I feel like you have a lot of other or maybe like not politics and sports, but like not deep dive analysis, because I feel like there's a lot of opinions there we have not cracked into, and I want to hear them from you. But Paul is a writer for the Acme Packing Company. Check out his work. His link will be on the show notes. When we come back, a handy tip from Greg. We're talking to a politician in Florida who wants to be a governor and why where he's looking for voters is not a good idea. But don't go anywhere. We're still got lots to show ahead. Civic Media Mid-Morning here. My name is Greg Bach. Stay tuned and stay close. Have a good day, Paul.
Later, guys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, welcome back to Civic Media Mid-Mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, your friend and confidant. You can tell me secrets. I won't tell anyone. I won't even tell Debbie down the hall. She tells all the secrets, so I won't tell her. But you are with us today. I am appreciating your time. Always appreciating your time. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream after the 11 o'clock news. We have Tom Hartman on from 11 to 2, so don't go anywhere. Lots of programming still ahead. Check out the Civic Media app. Excuse me, I had to cough right there. And my cough button. See what happened right there, folks, is I started coughing. I pressed my cough button. Excuse me. Wow, there. Okay, Kelvin, what happened right there? This just happened.
Yeah.
This just happened.
Hopefully Greg can recover. He's having a hard time speaking right now.
Burn this mic cover. Seriously, burn this mic cover.
But yeah, we had a great show today. We talked to Jim Santel about ICE and the SAVE Act. Yeah. And then we had Paul Noonan on to talk about the Bucks and the Super Bowl.
There it is. That's a nice rundown of the show. Thanks, Kelvin. I decided it would be a good idea to press the cough button while explaining to all of you what the cough button did and then start coughing as I depress the button because I am a professional who knows how things work in this world. But I want to thank all the guests for stopping by today, Jim Santel, Paul Noonan. We had a really good time today talking about all of our topics, and everything is available by going to civicmedia.us/shows. You can download episodes. You can watch past episodes, past live streams by going to Civic Media's YouTube page. And you can always be part of that conversation by getting the Civic Media app in your life. It's absolutely free. Put it on your phone or your tablet. You can call, you can text, you can leave a voice note for us. You can maybe throw me some thoughts on how to save my voice because all of a sudden here in the very last moment, I'm like, done. My voice checks out. But again, appreciate you being here with us today. Looking at tomorrow's show, we are talking to Gail Cornelius, director of World Relief in Wisconsin, as well as Naomi Kreitzer, who is a writer. It's going to be a fantastic Friday, getting ready for the weekend. And I think the weather is supposed to be warming up, too. And you can find out more about that by going to civicmedia.us/news, where we have all your weather information as well. We've got it all. But again, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you to everyone who called and texted about. Talk more about that in a moment. Right now, though, it's time to get to the brand new segment that one person may be talking about, and that person is me. It's time for a handy tip from Greg. If you ever have something where you need some advice, a tip, you think someone else deserves advice or a tip, story like that, or a guest or whatever, you can send it right to me, Greg.Bach at civicmedia.us. Again, that's Greg, G-R-E-G, dot Bach, B-A-C-H, like the composer. I've never seen a check, at civicmedia.us. Love to hear from you. Always get in touch. Always want to know what's on your mind. This is coming from, let's see here, the website. This is coming from News 6, powered by clickorlando.com. The headline reads, Florida governor candidate joins Tinder to, quote, meet young female voters. Dude. Your state does not have the shiniest reputation when it comes to decision-making and good behavior. Tinder profile argues Florida should offer paid maternity for all mothers. Welcome back. I kind of like you. But this is about a gentleman named James Fishback who is taking to social media. He wants to push a hefty OnlyFans tax. If you don't know what OnlyFans is, ask your kid or grandkid. I'm not getting that conversation. And a mandatory school uniform program. He's a gubernatorial candidate. James Fishback has now presented a new campaign strategy, the dating app Twitter. On Monday, Fishback announced via Twitter that he had joined Tinder to, quote, meet young female voters where they are, and share his plan to, quote, make it easier for them to get married, buy a home, and raise... What is this dude about? Seriously. James, come on over here. Me and you. We're going to have a talk. Do you really want to run for governor? I am someone who has run campaigns. And with rhetoric like this, to make it easier for them to get married, buy a home, and raise... Now, here's the thing is, if you want to get married, buy a home, raise a family, that's great. But coming from a guy who thinks that OnlyFans should have a hefty tax, goes on Tinder to find female voters, all of this seems, as the kids say, sus. I did it. He says he's run out of likes within 30 minutes. Could someone donate? So I don't even know it. Can someone donate so I can get a Tinder Plus? By Tuesday evening, though, he claimed he already received 1,000 matches in the... And here's the thing. I'll say this. Handsome fella. Good looking guy. Love, like the cut of his jib. Very, very, very good looking man. But dude, all I'm saying is this. Here's my tip from you. Here's my tip to you from me. As a candidate, regardless of what you're running for, but when it's the governor's race of Florida, this is a high profile state position and national position, whomever runs Florida next, you're going to get a lot of attention. People are going to go a digging on you. And if you think joining Tinder to meet female voters is a good idea, people are already looking into your search history. I'm just putting that out there. And that is a handy tip from Greg. All right. I want to thank Calvin. I want to thank Tucker. I want to thank engineering and traffic. Without any of you, this show does not exist. We are talking to mics that do not work. I want to thank everyone who called, texted, everyone who put a comment on the live stream, everyone who gave us their time. I always appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing your time with us. It's so wonderful. I hope you can join us again tomorrow. We got more show ahead for you tomorrow, more programming ahead on the network. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening or watching Civic Media Mid-Mornings. My name is Greg Bach. Take care. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.